If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is the all that is, that you are. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, we're affected only by our thoughts, victims only of our imagination. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the infilling of the whole spirit to come down as a divine life stream, filling and occupying every single minute particle of your physical and your subtle bodies. Take another deep breath. And just allow that sweet, gentle energy to flow down over the top of your head. Sort of feels like someone is pouring warm honey over you, or warm oil. It's called the anointing. And you call yourself into it. And you evoke it. You meet spirit as it was, halfway. That's the meaning of the conjoined triangles that form what is called the Star of David. But before that, in the Vedas, it was called the Star of Lord Vishnu. And so our upward, as it were, reaching into that state of higher consciousness and evoking it calls forward that descending triangle. And the two together form the six-pointed star of perfection and initiation. So our job is always to call ourselves into the presence of that state that we would embody and express. It's a very active relationship we have here. It's not passive. It's not waiting. It's not supplicatory. It's evocative. The new science of spirituality will be one of evocation and invocation, no longer supplication. That's part of the old Piscean paradigm, where God was put outside of oneself, up high on a throne somewhere, but never within the throne of the heart. So that distancing has created a very false understanding of our relationship with the divine, which dwells in us as us. It's in no way apart from us. So let's luxuriate in that. Take another deep breath. And this time expand into that ocean of golden bliss. Feel every part of yourself melt into your own delicious omnipresence. Expand until you can see the galaxies and stars and universes and billions of suns within your own cosmic field of consciousness. And see the little wavelets of imagination rise and glisten and dissolve back into that bliss of your own omnipresence. Feel the gentle upholding of this ocean of consciousness in which you live and move and have your being. A field of unlimited potentiality that you can actualize or not. You can recline like Lord Vishnu on that ocean, because part of you is Lord Vishnu. Or you can rise as individualized waves of your own being, which you might call people, but they're all wavelets of your own being. Feel the release of total being. There are no have-tos here, no shoulds, no isolated forms you have to be loyal to. See how the different nuances of perspective rise like wavelets. Isn't it fun to be the one pretending to be the many? When you look out upon the vast creation of myriads of worlds and realms and beings, and you realize they're your own self, ah, what freedom, what joy. It is through your own love and bliss that causes the desire to become many and to spread yourself throughout existence. That is a divine resolve. I am one, let me be many. And thus the worlds came into being with myriad aspects of your own love moving about as individuated expression. Rest in that ocean. Enjoy the play of the waves rising and merging, and the storms and the times when the ocean is very quiet. Enjoy all of the nuances of the plays of light and color, the divine harmonics, and the myriad plays of differentiated being that is the self that you are, that you could never not be. For your nature is indistinguishable from that of God. Take a deep breath. Imprint and integrate that beautiful imagery. And be present, but holding that within yourself. So our divine nature is creative, like our divine source. We create images in our likeness, like our Creator. And we are here in this dance of time, space, causation, and individualized personas to learn how to create in spirit and in truth through love and bliss. You see, man confuses itself with the separated self, with the self that thinks out of the lower linear mind, not the higher mind, but the lower linear mind, and creates through duress, through strife, through struggle, and through forcing the creative process, trying to make things happen. And that's exactly the opposite of how we as divine creative spirits are designed to create. We create through expanding love and bliss, so that bliss, ananda, paramananda itself, gives birth to the true forms that are eternal and godlike and beautiful. And when you're sourced by that sourcing creative spirit, there's no fatigue, there's no burnout, there's no drain, there's no tiredness, there's no boredom. But there's a thrill of creative how to language it. There's a creative nectar that flows like liquid fire through your veins, through your nervous system, through your consciousness, until the whole of you is one great divine white oblation of ecstasy, where you are self-bestowing. You're in the act of self-bestowal. Capital S self. You're constantly in that state of self-bestowal. That's completely devoid of the personal, limited, egoic sense. This is the true self that you are, and the true way that you create. And we're coming into the alignment with that so that we can create like God. Now, you see, the difference is we are divine. It's not something we're trying to become, or something we're trying to learn, or something we're trying to import. The ego, on the other hand, wants to be God by usurping God's place, by bettering, as it were, improving, if it were possible, what you've already been and already are and could never not be, which is the perfect image of your Creator. So everything the ego does is trying to add to, and everything it adds to you causes you pain. It causes you strife, anguish, and struggle, because it's false. And the false will always give you the energy signature of strife and struggle and bondage and burden. So we need to learn how to source, evoke, and call forward that higher anointing of the whole spirit, and let that move through us. We being simply the willing and empty of self instruments, the conduits, if you will, of that divine creative process. So, we're victims only of our imagination. Of course, the miracle states it this way. I am affected only by my thoughts. My thoughts give all the meaning anything has for me. Nothing apart from me has the power to make me ill or sad, deprived, depressed, or victimized. Interesting, huh? So why do we feel like we're alone, suffering in pain on some level all the time, and constantly under a feeling of attack, as if something were hovering, waiting to destroy us? Did you ever question that feeling? Did you ever really look into it? A very useful exercise is to really sit down with a pencil and paper and really write down every single thing you can think of that you're afraid of. Just have the courage to do that. Just look at what you are so afraid of. Look at it. You see, it's the unexamined life and the unquestioned rhetoric that we just let run in our minds that is the problem. It's the thoughts. And we're affected only by our thoughts. There's nothing outside of us. There is only the self, and everything is within that self. That ocean of being contains everything. So how many times have you been frightened by something only to find out it wasn't real? Like, for example, something falls in your hair and you think it's a bug or something and you go all nuts. Then you find out it was just a blossom from the tree. Or perhaps you are walking in the grass and you come upon a rope or a piece of a hose and you're afraid it's a snake. Oh, we've all had this happen, right? Or maybe one of your naughty siblings throws something, you know, down your back and says it's a spider or something, and you just freak out. And it was nothing. So we are victimized only by our imagination. And we are terrorizing ourselves while believing we are being attacked by outer forces. And there's only one divine whole spirit, and that's who and what we are forever. So what causes this mistake? Really poor habits and an unexamined life. You've got to question your thoughts and your assumptions. You've got to face your fears. As long as you are afraid to face your fears, they're going to terrorize you. Because nothing that is real is threatened. And nothing that is unreal exists. And herein is the peace of God. But I'll tell you, falsehood cannot bear scrutiny. If you want to shrivel your ego into nothingness, begin to question and examine its prepositions, its assumptions, those niggling little self-doubts and insecurities that it will fortify and bring up until you confront it. But the ego cannot stand questioning and scrutiny. It will begin to dissolve. So question your fears. Do you absolutely know for a fact that that is real? What do the great enlightened ones say? That's what you take as your standard of truth. What do the God realized have to say about what's real and what needs to only be dismissed as an illusion? When you looked and saw it was not a bug in your hair, the fear dissolved. When you looked and saw it was simply a rope and not a snake, the fear dissolved. When you pulled down into your shirt and pulled the thing out, your little brother or whatever fell, put into your blouse, you see that it was just a wad of paper. So begin to really look at what you're so afraid of. And I'll tell you, if you're honest with yourself, you're going to have to default somewhere on trusting the life process, okay? Somehow or other, you are here tonight. And you must be in a pretty good state if you could sit and listen to this radio transmission. So very many of the things and processes of our life, we do not understand. We don't know how they work, but they do work. We really don't understand, most of us, exactly what each organ in our body does. We just assume that the liver does what livers do, and the kidneys do what kidneys do, and so forth and so on. But very, very few people, except maybe a doctor, has any idea of exactly what the physical organs are doing. They're completely at a level in which you're unconscious, and you take it for granted. You've got to do that with life, beloveds. You have to do that with life. Your divine creator created you in its own image and likeness as pure, unsullied awareness, as love, as light, as divine melody. And you are loved and supported and forever one with that creator. Because in the Course of Miracles, it said that ideas leave not their source. Now, this is important for you to get. Ideas and thoughts, same thing, do not leave their source. And you are an idea, a thought of immortal love in the mind and heart of God. That means you do not leave your source. You can't. That means also that your thoughts and images do not leave you either. For example, your thoughts swirl around in your aura, okay? They are the children of your consciousness. You have given birth to them, whether through inspiration or fear or imagination or whatever. We do all of that until we're perfected in our divine creative ability, but they don't leave their source. They hover in your energy field. And then at some point, when your energy field is just filled with these children of your consciousness, and if they're filled with negative thoughts and self-attacking thoughts and judgmental thoughts of others and critical thoughts, at some point, they began to overwhelm you. And that's when people think they're having a psychic attack. Yeah, that is your psychic attack. Who's attacking you? Your attack thoughts. I believe this is also the cause of panic attacks. We overwhelm our auric field with fears. Mostly, if you boil it down to its root, it's the fear of death. Now, when you're in that state of a panic attack, the ego is the one that's suggesting you're going to die. But you want to know the truth? The ego is the only thing that dies. Why? Because it's the lie of separation from God. And only the lie dies. Only the falsehood dissolves into truth. So ideas do not leave their source. They stay in the aura of the Creator. This is why we need to learn how to be responsible creators. We're here to learn that. That's what Earth School is for. It's to learn how to create like God in spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in truth, according to truth. So again, your panic attacks and your feelings of being psychically attacked are your own attack thoughts returning to their creator. They are your children of consciousness, and since you gave birth to them, you must deal with them. How? Well, you begin to look at them. You don't resist them. You don't shrink from them. You call them forward, and you write down, okay, what fear is it? Well, I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm afraid my heart's going to stop. I'm afraid I can't catch my next breath. You know, fear, 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 fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So you have to question, you have to get some distancing from this so that you can look at it without getting totally sucked into the sensation, which I admit is kind of difficult because it's quite overwhelming when you're having a panic attack, but you've got to purchase yourself some distance so that you can look at it, so part of you doesn't buy into the whole enchilada. Just don't get totally sucked into that. I know it's difficult. It's your yoga. Okay, let that be your yoga, your spiritual practice, which it is. Two things, if you ever want to be of use to the divine spirit as an instrument, is you must master your emotions. You must master your thoughts. Yeah. You've got to master these things. Don't let them overwhelm you. You are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are just part of the mass hallucination that most people operate under, believing they're their body. Almost everything that troubles you can be traced back to identifying yourself with your body and your thoughts. Really look at that. Ideas leave not their source, and you are responsible for examining these fears, examining these attack thoughts. Of Course in Miracles is very helpful in helping you sort that out and taking you through the steps of what it takes to heal the mind from all of these erroneous assumptions we bought into. So your attack thoughts are what attack your invulnerability. Your invulnerability comes because of your own attack thoughts. When you attack someone, that instant you've attacked yourself. When you attack yourself, which could be any number of negative statements that you make about yourself that are absolutely not true from God's perspective. How are you going to know God's perspective? You've got to read the works of some enlightened people, okay? You've got to read the works of people who have realized themselves beyond the dream, beyond the appearances of this world. And take their words on trust until you can develop your own direct knowing. But you have to have something to start with. So as souls, we are ideas of love, thoughts of love in the mind of God. And thus, we too can never leave our source. We can never leave the presence and oneness that we share with our divine creator. So, you know, the human birth is sought by all of the devas and gods and beings of all the worlds and all the kingdoms of nature. Why? Because it's only in a human birth and upon earth that one can return to God consciousness. Only earth serves as a springboard to the God realms beyond time and space and causation. And only the human being has been given the ability to consciously know God and speak for and as God. That's why we have speech. No other reason. Not to gossip and talk ego nonsense, but to give utterance to the truths of God. Now, only the human being can realize the divine self and attain full God consciousness at a conscious, self-aware level. And the human being is the only form that God has chosen to embody within as the whole or Holy Spirit. So all life is of one spirit. So from this perspective, let's answer some of the questions that we all ask or would ask or will ask at some point. What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to express the whole spirit. You're how God expresses in time-space. You're the only way God expresses through time-space directly, is through your human form. What is the purpose of the body? The purpose of the body is to host the whole spirit. Okay, so what is the purpose of pain? The purpose of pain is to cause one to stop and ask why, and to seek answers and solutions. You know, if you didn't have pain, you would never, never, never wake up. So pain is one of the greatest incentives to seek beyond the pain. There's got to be something more than this daily grind and daily pain. So what is the purpose of death? The purpose of death is to offer a temporary respite from pain. You don't have any pain when you're out of the body. Death also offers one the opportunity to reboot and reinvent oneself, to return with a new approach and perspective next time. Okay, well, then what is the purpose of rebirth? The purpose of rebirth is to allow one another opportunity to awaken beyond pain and suffering. You see, there's one problem, regardless of the form it takes. And that one problem is behind every form of pain, lack, fear, and suffering. Every one. And the one problem is the belief in separation from divine source. So the only solution is to cease believing you are separate and different from God. At some point, you've got to drop the act of separation. The whole stories that you tell yourself, all of that narrative has to change to align with truth. Again, ideas leave not their source. And you as a soul are an idea of love within the heart and mind of God, your creator. All life is one whole spirit. That ocean of omnipresence that you melt in while you watch the waves coming up and dissolving and rising and dissolving. That's that omnipresent life of that whole spirit that is all that exists. And in truth, it is pure love. And pure being. to pure bliss. So at no point is one less than 100% divine, whole, perfect, pure, and free. Never at any point in your life, I don't care what the behavior appears to be, within this dream field of illusion, you are never at any time less than 100% divine, whole, perfect, pure, and free. It's not something you're trying to become. That's the ego. All the becomingness is of the ego. This is what you realize and let everything else go. You keep parked here. I am divine. I'm 100% divine right now. I am whole, I'm perfect, I'm pure, I'm free. That's where you park your reality. You cannot make yourself less than you were created to be. Nor can you make yourself more divine or more perfect than you already are. That little self-efforting thing going on there, that's the ego mind. You remain as God created you. So as divine love, God created you to be His image and likeness throughout creation and beyond. Why? Because God is omnipresent spirit. Beyond name, beyond gender, beyond form, beyond any form of definition we could possibly postulate here. The only thing you can say truthfully is, God is, and then you have to be quiet. If you want to know God, examine yourself, because you're a replication of God in every way in your true being. So the true study of God is the study of your own self. So your awakening in time, space, and causation enables the dissolving of time, space, and causation as illusions born of imagined separation. So you see, your awakening is part of the dissolving of the illusions that keep us trapped in this mass hallucination. Your awakening in time, in space, and causation enables the dissolving of time and space and causation as illusions, born of imagined separation. And thus your ups and downs, your passages through the realms of duality and polarized experiences, they're all part of the healing of the collective soul, the anima mundi, the collective soul is healed as you dance through these dualities that we all experience in these lower dimensions and worlds. You're helping to heal and lift us all beyond the nightmare of suffering and imagined alienation. So you see, it's all part of the divine design. So then you might ask, well, what is the purpose of all of our spiritual practices and efforts to awaken and improve ourselves? The purpose of all our efforts to awaken spiritually is to consciously, underline, consciously return from the sense of separation to the realization of divine wholeness. You see, that's the bridge that we as human beings can serve from the unconscious to the superconscious. We can be that bridging mechanism. You know, as humans, we are the hybrid mix of all of the five kingdoms of nature, the mineral, plant, animal, human, and divine. In addition, we are the collective hybrid of many extraterrestrial visitations and colonizations upon this planet. This planet is a whole biophysical testing zone for the mixing of different strands of consciousness and cultures and DNA and programs that have to do with this product, which has become at once the darling and the envy of the whole of the universe, which is the human being upon Earth. So the Earth human is a mix of the entire spectrum of creation. But only the human being on Earth is such a composite. And I'll tell you, it's no easy feat to take a human birth, particularly at the time that we're in now, of the advent of the greatest cosmic avatar who has ever graced this earth, the Lord Satya Sai Baba. Moreover, his next incarnation, Prema Sai Baba, has been born and will, at some point within a short period of time, be known upon the earth. Those of you that are even older, probably none of you are still on Earth, but if you are, you were present during the advent of the first of the three Sai avatars, Shirdi Sai Baba. I was present with him in my past incarnation. So now we're in the time of the externalization of the celestial and planetary lords of light and the advent of the seventh golden age. That was actually the topic of a talk that I gave at the United Nations back in, 1998. And I spoke about this, and I spoke at that time the purpose of the United Nations as a world disciple. And so, what I'm saying is that we have really elbowed and pleaded and finagled our way into a human birth at the closing of one age and the dawning of a new age. And we're present on Earth as contemporaries of great divine cosmic beings, the planetary lords of light that guard and guide our evolution, 63 in number. 40 of them are externalizing into physical life on the physical planet in the outer world. Some 14, 15 of them are now living on the surface of the planet in various places across the planet. And the world teacher, the Christ himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is adventing. So we're all called here to be part of this great, great time on the planet. Nothing else is so important than to really consciously live your life and fine-tune it until it resonates as a crystal-clear bell of divine truth. Make your life as godly and godlike as you possibly can. Rein in those emotions. Train that mind to hold to truth. Overcome the pull of the body and its senses, and become the disciple of the Lord, bringing everything into the discipline of the Spirit. Live impeccably. Don't let a day go by that you're not walking consciously in that integrated divine self that you truly are. Call it forward, evoke it, embody it. Act as godlike as you possibly can. Fake it till you make it. The more you act out what you would be the more it becomes a habit until one day you wake up and you find, whoa, that's effortless. That's absolutely effortless. You will live as divinely as your liver functions. You will fulfill your divine function, and you don't even have to understand how that is. You just take the word of the enlightened that you are divine. Right now, it's not something you're becoming. You're letting go all of the false ideas that you've built up around yourself, that's all. You are embracing those parts of yourself, and you're forgiving yourself for the only thing you ever need to forgive yourself for, and that's forgetting you are divine. And so is everyone else. We're all incarnations of the same divine spirit. All waves of that same ocean. And when you really awaken, you realize you're the ocean and the waves. That you're all of it. That's what awakening means. You give up this fascination with a singular body and personality, and you embrace all personalities and all bodies, all forms, all manifestations, and all expressions as your very own self. So every single entity will eventually arrive at the point of individualizing as a soul. Not everyone is a soul, you see. Many of the extraterrestrials that are visiting the planet are insectoid hybrids. And they don't have an individualized soul, they have a hive consciousness. And that's why they're studying us so closely, because they're curious. How do we have that emotional feeling? How do we love? How do we have feelings and relationships? Well, because we have a soul. And they're not at the level of evolution yet where they're going to have a soul. They're not supposed to be in our time-space continuum. Some scientists, very unwittingly, opened the door to them in a dimension, which allowed them to leech through into this dimension, but they're not supposed to be here. Now is our time, because we have a soul. If you have a human body, you have a soul. That doesn't mean that you're connected yet with that soul. That's going to take you exerting some interest in awakening. You have to show some interest to participate with the soul. But you have it. Whether or not it's hanging out, you know, just observing this personality run through its numbers, or you're in process of beginning to connect to it. How do you connect to it? Well, I show you every single show. You take a deep breath and you call yourself into that presence. You meet it halfway. You do whatever it takes to connect to something higher. Prayer, meditation, just plain asking, dear God, I want to be connected to my divine self. Please help me. That's enough. It starts the process immediately. You have to invent some interest in it. And then gradually the soul begins to prepare the instrument to receive more and more of that divine infilling, because it's powerful. It changes everything in your life, the way you look at life, the way you understand yourself and other people, the way you behave. It turns you upside down and inside out. And when you live an outside, inside-out life, and you've reversed the world, and you're living exactly the opposite from the way most people are living, you're enlightened. You may think you're crazy, but it's a good crazy. You know, of all the forms of madness, this is the one that's beneficial. People are really quite mad the way they're living now. They're quite topsy-turvy, insane, but not in a good way. So only the mind gets distorted. The soul is not affected by the mind and the shenanigans of the mind. You are not. You as a soul are not affected by what the monkey mind does, what the ego mind insinuates. Those are like shadows to you. And we only get affected when we buy into the rhetoric and we begin to entertain it and host it and believe that's true without examining it. And that's just sheer either ignorance or laziness. Because if you really want to awaken, nothing is going to hold that realization from you. It happens in an instant, and it doesn't require time. If it requires time, it's probably the ego mind running its number. Because realization is instantaneous and permanent. It doesn't come and go. It just dawns on you. So every single entity will eventually arrive at the point of individualizing as a soul and experiencing life as a human being. Every mineral, plant, deva, animal, god, demon, demigod will have that opportunity at some point. And for many, that could mean billions of years and ages from now. However, now is your time. You have earned a precious human birth upon this earth. You are in the process of becoming integrated with the soul. And this earth alone offers the opportunity for conscious God realization and release from the illusions of time and space and separation. So make use of it. We must break through this imaginary shell of self-isolation and imprisonment by questioning what we've assumed to be so. Question everything that makes you unhappy. That's what you do. Happiness is union with God. Every whiff of happiness means you have tapped into some whiff of truth. Okay? So pay attention to what lifts your energy and enlivens you and makes you come present and enthused and inspired and happy, because that will lead you to God. That will lead you to truth. So the ego breaks down under questioning and confrontation. Baba says it this way, face the devil. What is the devil? The false self. And fight to the end. What does that mean? Question that ego. Hold its feet to the fire and dissolve it in the truth. So we are bound nowhere but in our imagination. Yet our imagined sense of separation is also on purpose. For as one awakens, the whole of the collective consciousness is lifted and illumined. It only takes one to illumine the whole. That's the real meaning behind the statement that we are saved by Christ. Christ was the first being on this earth to attain full God realization. That's why he's called the firstborn Son of God, or the elder brother of us all, because he was the first to awaken to conscious Godhood. And because of that, we can all partake of that. So we were saved more by his life than what the religions teach us, which is his death. It's because of his life and his overcoming of death that we are saved. If one does it, it means it spreads to all. So great ones who have come before us forged a lighted way upon which we now tread, and likewise we are now forging a way for those following behind us in our footsteps to find the path of light. Your pets, your beloved cats and dogs and elephants and horses and macaws, the very, very highly evolved animals of the animal species, will one day follow your footsteps and become a human being. They will individualize into having a soul. Instead of a group soul, they'll have an individual soul, and they will take their first incarnations as a human being. Maybe you'll meet them someday, and they'll laugh, and they'll say, well, I was your pet dog, so-and-so, or I was your horse, or whatever. And we can speculate. We really don't know if this would ever happen, but we could speculate. But we are the Mahatmas, the Rishis of these times. We are the Holy Ones. We are the Illumined Mystics. We are the Collective Messiah. We are the Group Avatar. We are the Collective Spirit of Christ, Buddha, and Divine Source. So why are we attacking and terrorizing ourselves? Simply by forgetting we are divine, perfect, and whole, and instead judging ourselves and others. So every critical word and every false statement that we utter denies the divine perfection and forms what we call an attack thought, which will come back and, you know, we're going to have to take that thought and love it and dissolve it in that love and forgive ourselves again and again for forgetting that we are divine, that we are whole and perfect right now. Doesn't matter what your physical body looks like or what's going on. This is all dream time. This is all dream time. Quietly dismiss everything to the contrary. But your radiant divine perfection. And keep reminding yourself. And act divinely. How's that? You love everything that exists. And you pray for greater and greater love. And you're exercising it. Every day you're exercising it. How is a way to exercise it? I'll tell you a simple way to exercise your divinity and your joy is to try to make people happy. Wake up in the morning and think, what can I do today to make somebody happy? And do that. Give me a little thing. Maybe it's a smile and a hello or God bless you or have a great day. But you put your heart into it, your loving into it. And you'll feel that little payback of joy. You'll feel great. So make people happy. And bring your own party when it comes to making yourself happy. Make yourself happy. Bring your own party. Live in your own portable paradise. Do what makes you happy and make others happy. That is the way to God. And that is the way to live in bliss and joy. Right now. Very simple. So I hope this discourse has been helpful to you. It's really a forgetting and a letting go of everything that's never been true, hopeful and happy. And embracing your wholeness now. So let's go out chanting on I, Hugh. Deep breath. On I, Hugh. On I, Hugh. Blessings and grace to each one of you and to our glorious planet. May all the beings on Earth and in all the worlds, be happy. Samasta loka sukino bhavantu. Good night and namaste.